22. In a red dawn, Flynn and Sebastian stood together on the stoop of the bungalow, talking together quietly.
Now listen, Bessie. I reckon the best thing you can do is send back the collection from each village as you make it. No sense in carrying all that money round with you.
Tactfully, Flynn refrained from pointing out that by following this procedure, in the event of Sebastian running into trouble halfway through the expedition, the profits to that time would be safeguarded. Sebastian was not really listening. He was more preoccupied with the whereabouts of Rosa O'Flynn. He had seen very little of her in the last few days.
"Now you listen to old Mohammed. He knows where the biggest villages are. Let him do the talking. Those headmen are the biggest bunch of rogues you'll ever meet. They'll all plead poverty and famine, so you've got to be tough. Do you hear me? Tough, Bessie, tough."
"Tough," agreed Sebastian absent-mindedly, glancing surreptitiously into the windows of the bungalow for a glimpse of Rosa.
"Now, another thing," Flynn went on. "Remember to keep moving fast. March until nightfall. Make your cooking fire, eat, and then march again in the dark before you camp. Never sleep at your first camp. That's asking for trouble. Then get away again before first light in the morning."
There were many other instructions, and Sebastian listened to them without attention.
"Remember, the sound of gunfire carries for miles. Don't use your rifle except in emergency, and if you do fire a shot, then don't hang about afterwards. Now, the route I've planned for you will never take you more than 20 miles beyond the Ravuma. At the first sign of trouble, you run for the river. If any of your men get hurt, leave them. Don't play hero, leave them and run like hell for the river."
"Very well," muttered Sebastian unhappily. The prospect of leaving Lalapanzi was becoming less attractive each minute. Where on earth was she?
"Now remember, don't let those headmen talk you out of anything. You might even have to..."
Here Flynn paused to find the least offensive phraseology.
"You might even have to hang one or two of them."
"Good God, Flynn, you're not serious." Sebastian's full attention jerked back to Flynn.
"Ha ha!" Flynn laughed away the suggestion. "I was joking, of course, but..." He went on wistfully. "Germans do it, and it gets results, you know."
"Well, I'd be better be on my way." Sebastian changed the subject ostentatiously and picked up his helmet. He placed it upon his head and descended the steps to where his askari, with rifles at the slope, were drawn up on the lawn. All of them, including Mohammed, were dressed in authentic uniform, complete with puttees and the little pillbox kepis. Sebastian had prudently refrained from asking Flynn how he had obtained these uniforms. The answer was evident in the neatly patched circular punctures in most of the tunics and the faint brownish stain around each mend. In single file, the blazing eagle on Sebastian's headpiece leading like a beacon, they marched past the massive solitary figure of Flynn O'Flynn on the veranda. Mohammed called for a salute, and the response was enthusiastic but ragged. Sebastian tripped on his spurs and, with an effort, regained his equilibrium and plodded on gamely. Shading his eyes against the glare, Flynn watched the gallant little column wind away down the valley towards the Ravuma River. Flynn's voice was without conviction as he spoke aloud.
"Hope to God he doesn't mess this one up."